WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Washed up, you are not broken down, because if you was broken down, you wouldn't be posting workout videos on your wife's Instagram.
The shot heard around the world.
God damn.
Oh man, this is Raw Post Show presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, and Gerwick.net. Raw Post Show, Lindsay Ward, Sir Rockin'. We're here, we're live. Apparently, there's some guys on Instagram posting workout videos. But we're not supposed to know this.
How can you not know it? He shows up on her Instagram.
But then you have to know that they're married and, you know.
A Google search will fix that.
Apparently a Google search will fix anything.
Apparently.
Apparently, even though it really doesn't. That's a fact. Anyway, hi everybody. It's Raw Post Show. We're here. We're talking about John Cena. Because John Cena was the man tonight.
Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. So John Cena has recovered from his loss last night at Fastlane. We'll be talking about that on Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern on The Rack. Check it out. Ding. And, well, he decided to go outside the box. He decided to go rogue. John Cena did the one thing tonight he was not supposed to do, and that was challenge The Undertaker to a match at WrestleMania, and then proceeded to fire off the shot heard round the world.
But before that, there was an Undertaker chant. He goes, "I hope they're listening." And, you know, he said he wanted to be competing, and he would be a fan. At this year's WrestleMania, he would be part of the WWE Universe, because without the WWE Universe, there is no noise, there is no anything. So he goes into the crowd, he finds some dude who has a beer, takes a sip of the guy's beer, got a this is awesome chant. And then, as they're doing that, he said, "Let's do one more. Let's go Roman." No one did the "Let's go Roman" chant.
And then he poorly and pathetically stood in the ring and did the "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks."
Then,
oh, John, you troll.
Then he said, "This, you know, he's either going as a fan or he's doing this. Screw it, I challenge The Undertaker to a match at WrestleMania." Fans popped huge. He said he never asked why it was a possible question, whether it was because of the executives. He said they could have turned off his mic if they wanted to. He goes, "I challenge The Undertaker. I challenge The Undertaker." Mic's still on. Say it wasn't WWE fans who were keeping that match from happening. He blamed The Undertaker. Told him to get over his own ego. Said he picks himself up after he fails, but The Undertaker hides his head in the sand because he's so ashamed and embarrassed about what people may say about him. Told him to stop hiding behind those lame excuses. He says The Undertaker isn't too old. He isn't washed up or broken down, as you just heard. He said The Undertaker, if that Undertaker was broken down, he wouldn't be posting workout videos on his wife's Instagram. "The only person stopping this match from happening is you. You self-centered, conceited egomaniac."
Okay, alright, well.
Hold on. Got more. There's more.
Okay. All right, I'll let you finish.
Let me finish. He asked if he wanted to play the Undertaker's ego, because that's what you got to do. He said, if the fans want to see Taker kick his ass and Tombstone in front of the 75,000 people at WrestleMania, the fans cheered. Cena said at WrestleMania will either be a party or he will go as Undertaker's opponent and it will be history. The ball's in your court, dead man. Time to see if you're still alive. If I were you, I know what I would do. I would want one more match. And I go.
I'd just like to point out, Taker has killed people for less than this. But I think we've talked about this on the show. I'm not sure. On this show, might have talked about it on the rack. If not, well,
no,
I have a little theory.
I don't think we ever dropped the theory.
I don't think we ever dropped the theory. Okay, I'm going to drop the theory.
Drop theory time. Sit back, y'all. Enjoy.
So I get wild and crazy theories about wrestling, and I notice things in wrestling. And Rock pointed out one of the WrestleMania shirts to me one night. We were looking at it. We were going through the logos, and there is one logo on that shirt that if you look right by Roman Reigns, Nikki Bella, and Elias, there's a little fist logo on there that neither one of us can identify. It's strangely foreign, and it doesn't line up to anybody else on the roster that we can find, at least anybody in recent memory. Now, it could be wrong. Obviously you're looking at a tiny logo on a shirt, on a tiny picture on a shirt, but it, oddly enough, it reminds me of a certain somebody's logo back when he was Big Evil. In fact, when you do a Google search for that logo and you hold it up to the other logo, hey, look, they're extremely similar. One's obviously been updated for 2018, but it's a fist. Matching a fist. And it's not Roman, because like I said, it's right next to Roman, so it's definitely not his logo. So it's like, okay, well, that's interesting. Could they figure out a way to sneak one of Taker's old logos onto the shirt to still have him on the shirt and not realize it? Maybe. Another interesting theory. Kid Rock is going into the Hall of Fame. Kid Rock sang the American Badass theme for Biker Taker and had performed it at WrestleMania 20?
No, before then.
No, not 20. One of the WrestleManias, he performed Taker to the Ring. I believe he did play Taker to the Ring.
Seattle 19, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 19.
No, that was Limp Bizkit.
17?
17, maybe? Yeah, 17, when he was badass. Yeah, 17.
Yeah, there we go. We'll get it. One of those years. So Kid Rock could play, and they acknowledge that in Kid Rock's Hall of Fame thing, which we'll get to, his little video package, that he did American Badass for The Undertaker, and that they acknowledge Biker Taker, which they almost never do.
First acknowledgement in forever that there was even a Biker Taker.
Yeah, that happened. So that's interesting. And then also, last but certainly not least, it's that when John Cena debuted in WWE all those years ago, because I'm old, he came in and he faced off against Biker Taker. So it seems really fitting that John Cena would now retire The Undertaker as Biker Taker. So here's where the crazy theory kind of plays into all of this. The Undertaker, the dead man, is done, right? The last time we saw him was at Raw 25, and he wasn't there to fight. He said he was done. He said it was over. Mark Calloway, or American Badass Taker, which is essentially who that is, may not be done. And he could come back as himself, in quotations, or Biker Taker, and kind of, put a whole nice big bow on everything that he's done, and, come out on his Harley one more time, do the whole shtick, and then ride off into the sunset at the end of WrestleMania 34. And it would be a nice sort of send-off for him, because the dead man got his send-off last year against Roman, where, he took off the hat and the gloves and the coat, and he left them all in the ring, and, he went over and he kissed his wife, hugged his daughter, walked halfway up the ramp, disappeared into the ramp, lit the set on fire, and that was the last time we saw him until Raw 25. Now, it could be insane, I could be crazy, but a lot of this lines up to me. It could all be coincidental, but it's a little too coincidental to me. Because, obviously this has been planned. Obviously this decision was made a while ago. So how do you sneak The Undertaker onto WrestleMania without anybody realizing it's The Undertaker? You pull out the Biker Taker gimmick that nobody has seen in 15 years? Has it been that long since we've seen Biker Taker?
Traditional Biker Taker, yeah.
That was the last time he did it. It was about 15 years ago. So, God, has it been that long?
I guess he was doing 14, 13 years ago, maybe. 2003? 14?
Yeah, that would be about 15 years.
That would be 15 now, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So, so just it's an interesting theory that we kind of came up with just in looking at things. I'm sure we're wrong, but completely. So help me God, if he does come out as Biker Taker, y'all going to hear me scream wherever the hell you are, and then I'm going to get on the show and I'm going to scream again because I'm going to proclaim that I was right. But yeah, in terms of the John Cena promo, this was fantastic. They brought up the wife. They took the shot because he pops up on her Instagram and she will put out workout videos of him. And that's how we always know when he's training for WrestleMania is the last few years, he has popped up on her social media. And she's been putting out like date night stuff and all kinds of other things. So, yeah, Cena, the writing staff, and Cena took the shot. I very much appreciate the shot. The only thing that would make it better is if Taker responds on his wife's Instagram.
I love it so
much. Only thing that would make that better.
It would only make that better. I love it so much. I have to do this again.
Stop hiding behind your lame excuses. You are not too old. You are not washed up. You are not broken down, because if you was broken down, you wouldn't be posting workout videos on your wife's Instagram.
I love it so much.
And the crowd reaction just makes sense.
It's like, ooh.
Like everybody had the same reactions, like, ooh. He's going to come back and kill you, son. But this could lead to something else.
What could it lead to?
Well, Nikki Bella's on that shirt, too. Could we get a mixed match challenge between John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Taker and the wife? Could that be a thing? She just hops up on the back of the Harley and rides down with him.
Could be in his corner.
Could be in his corner.
Be Cena Undertaker, but they can have the wives and the wife and the soon-to-be wife in corners.
The wags.
The wags. Could have it. Could be a thing. Who knows? So there was that. I guess tonight's episode of Raw could be described as we're spilling the tea on people.
A little bit.
On people. Because there's this whole Alexa Bliss Nia Jax thing that went down on this show.
That Lex is gonna die.
So, Asuka declared last night she's going out for the SmackDown Women's title. Alexa comes out and explains for Asuka what happened. Because Asuka can't speak English. Okay. Asuka made her clear, you know, because Alexa was basically like, she can't beat me, yada yada yada. Asuka's response was, to be the woman, you have to beat the woman, and then she wants to beat the best champion, which clearly isn't Alexa. So this was a whole big setup. Mickey and Alexa were out there to get Nia to come out. Nia didn't come out. She called for her a few times. Didn't happen. The reason why, apparently Nia had a match later, which she defeated local indie person Joan King.
Poor sparkly pants.
Mickey would end up, and Alexa would jump Asuka. It would end up being Mickey versus Asuka. Asuka would win. So, Nia and Alexa had a conversation. They said they loved each other. Everything was good. She would be there for her next week when Alexa faced Asuka. So we know that's a matchup next week. Okay. So after Nia beached poor Joan King, who got assaulted by Nia Jax in the ring.
Basically.
We have the return of basically GTV. Cameras on. Charlie Caruso. Very late for this interview. So you get Mickey James and Alexa Bliss talking. James says Jax was a loser and a failure who let her entire family down. They laugh and Bliss talked about Bliss conflating Jax next the week before. Bliss said she has to be coddled because she can't handle the truth. Bliss said she needs Jax. Look at her and look at me. Bliss added that it was no wonder that Jax hitched her wagon to her. She said she would face Asuka and Jax would be right where she wants her. She said Nia Jax is easily manipulated as big as she is big. She laughed about telling Nia that she loved her and said Nia would be nothing without her. Alexa Bliss told Mickey James that they would use Nia Jax to do their heavy lifting and they would beat the hell out of her if she decided to think for herself for the first time in her life. Charlie Caruso came in and said, well, you see,
the mic's on, y'all.
The mic is on right above your head. There's a camera. The entire world heard what you said. Nia's breaking down emotionally in the ring and then flips out. She storms backstage. Alexa and Mickey try to grab their stuff, but they just leave the other way. And Nia arrives backstage and she just trashes the room, pulls apart luggage as Nia screamed and shouted in pure rage. I thought it was cool. It was good. It was a nice way to break up Nia and Alexa, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was a great way to break up Nia and Alexa. I liked how they had Nia handle it, where she just, you know, she storms backstage. She rips open suitcases. She's throwing things everywhere. She's screaming. She's yelling. She's crying. She's so upset. She's so pissed off. She's so angry. I liked, you know, how you had Mickey and Alexa just run for it, where it's like, oh god, she's gonna kill us. I mean, this whole thing was great. I understand that people are very upset because of certain comments that Alexa made. I agree that they were not the best comments. I think it's specifically, you know, she's as the basically she's whatever it was as she is big. I think basically it's implied that, you know, Nia Jax is fat, which that's not okay by any means, that, you know, she's, you know, but making fun of her weight.
But she wasn't making fun of her weight.
She wasn't making fun of her weight, but I could see how it's taken that she's making fun of her weight.
Oh, God. If she was out there in a fat suit mocking her, that's making fun of her weight. Like, you know, come on.
Biggie James?
Exactly. Like, if she does that, then that's one thing. She wasn't. She was stating facts. People, stop being easily offended. I don't know how you have time to deal with anything else if you're offended by every goddamn thing that you see on television.
I mean, I think it was more implied that they weren't talking about her weight. They were talking about her height, because Nia Jax is very tall, especially to Alexa Bliss, who's very tiny. So I can see how, you know, basically it's she's as, you know, the saying that they kind of paraphrase is she's as dumb as she is tall, or she's as this as she is tall. That's kind of what they were saying without saying it. So I don't think they were necessarily making fun of her weight, but I could see how it was taking as they were making fun of her weight.
People.
Now, if they came out and said, oh, you know, she's ridiculously fat and she's horrible and she's ugly and she's disgusting. Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely get pissed off about that, because that's completely wrong and they shouldn't be saying that. But I don't think they said that. I don't think anybody would have been okay with them saying that.
Right. But that's not what they did.
No.
Again, if you're easily offended, turn off the damn television.
Please send all hate mail to Wild Talk Radio.
Yep. Please tweet me. At Wild Talk Radio. Bring it.
You know the meme going around that says, change his mind? Change his mind.
Sasha Banks beat Sonya Deville. Bayley was at ringside. She wasn't pleased being out there. She helped Sasha win by taking out Mandy. And she left. Then Sasha got beat down. Simple and effective. Whether they're in the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal or a singles match, we'll see.
Okay, I have one problem with this match.
Okay.
And that is, you have Sasha Banks beat Sonya Deville, where Sonya taps out. Okay, this MMA specialist, this badass, she taps out to Sasha, which that's fine, that's whatever. But then, you know, you have Absolution get in the ring and Mandy and Sonya beat up Sasha, and you have Sonya posing like a badass, and it's like, that doesn't work for me, just because you just had her get beat. And it's like, you beat up Sasha, but you didn't beat up Sasha. So, you know, it's like, I had a hard time buying this. But Bayley just being highly uncomfortable and not wanting to be there, clearly just like, let's get this over with. I hate it when mom and mom fight. I really do. It's just awkward. Can they just not fight with each other? Bayley being sad is just, that's too hard.
You know what's unfortunate about the whole thing?
Mm.
Paige.
Yeah.
Like, they're surrounding the ring, and Paige has to cowardly hide in the corner.
Yeah, that's the one thing that made it a really hard time to believe this, was that you had Paige, they got up on the ring apron shield style, and Paige is in the middle, and you're like, what are you doing? Get down.
So she just quietly moves over to the ring post and lets the two of them beat her down. It's like, it's unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
I mean, again, it's like, I get what they're trying to do. I understand that they are very much trying to help Paige and very much keep the group going. But at this point in time, it's painfully clear that Paige is not going to be able to wrestle again, at least right now. And it would almost be better to move Sonya and Mandy on their own and have them do something versus with Paige. Because I think the whole point of the group is they're supposed to be this dominant girl group who all of them can beat up and wrestle and that kind of thing. And only two of them can't. So there's no payoff to this, because it's like, you beat Mandy, you beat Sonya, and then you don't get Paige. You can't fight Paige. So there is no boss level to this group. It's just two and you're done. And kind of the whole point of this group is to have three where you work up to Paige and somebody. That was always the intention. Mm-hmm. And now they don't have that. So I would say either you bring in a fourth and you work up to a fourth, or you take Paige out and you replace Paige with somebody, which I hate saying, because, you know, they're helping Paige out. They're trying to keep her on TV. They're trying to make sure she's getting paid. But it's just like, it's not working, at least for me.
Miz TV with Seth Rollins and Finn Balor is the guest. Miz was trying to do his best to sort of pit Rollins and Finn against one another. It sort of worked. And then it sort of didn't, as they both beat up The Miz. Then Rollins, Baylor clothesline missed, and then turn around into a punch from Seth Rollins. It led to Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor later in the show. They had a good match, and I love the finish of the match. So we all know the Falcon Arrow that that Seth Rollins does off the superplex Falcon Arrow. So he goes through the superplex and then turns into Falcon Arrow. Well, Finn Balor's smart. He knows what's coming. Turned into an inside cradle, a.k.a. a small package. Perfectly executed for the win.
And Seth just sits there stunned afterwards. I always love it when these two face off against each other. It's such a pleasure to watch.
Oh, yeah. So, absent from the Miz TV was the Miztourage.
I didn't get my baby bow. What the hell?
Well, they were out a little bit later, 5 minutes later, as they challenged the Bar. That matchup really never took place, as they jumped the Bar. And then every other tag team on Raw jumped the Bar. Bar were not happy about this. They went backstage to Kurt Angle. They complained. They said they heard about the Superstar Shakeup coming after WrestleMania. They don't want to wait. They want to be traded to SmackDown right now. They'll fight the Bludgeon Brothers. They'll fight the Usos and the New Day. They'll fight anybody. Because, let's face it, the teams they used tonight on Raw were not the greatest.
No, they weren't. They really weren't.
You have the Revival. You have the Club. You have Titus Worldwide. You have Rhino and Heath Slater and the Miztourage.
Yeah. The Raw tag team division needs a little love.
Elias did a promo. He was just not feeling it because he got destroyed last week. Then Braun Strowman, he said, someone at WrestleMania is going to get his hands and he'll make his statement tonight. He did just that as he entered the tag team battle royal. Yes, Braun Strowman entered the tag team battle royal that was set up with the winner going to WrestleMania fight for the tag titles. Braun Strowman earned himself a Raw Tag Team title shot.
On his own.
Now, will he get a partner? Will it be Elias and Strowman? Who knows? We'll see. They were teasing on commentary that Kurt Angle can't let the stand. He wasn't a tag team. Well, if he wasn't going to let the stand, the match would never happen. So Braun has a rightful spot in that match, whatever it may be. So there's that. Then we have the preview.
Wait. I just want to say this. Cesaro and Sheamus severely regretted their life choices after this.
Yes, I did.
Sheamus was very, very concerned and confused.
Yes, he was. Now, can I mention the next thing?
Yes, go ahead.
We had a preview of Ultimate Deletion. We saw Queen Rebecca, King Maxwell, Lord Wolfgang, Senior Benjamin, and Vanguard 1. Matt said they will banish Sister Abigail's Ryan's soul from Bray Wyatt into the redeeming orders of the Lake of Reincarnation. And he sentenced Matt Hardy, sentenced Bray Wyatt to the Ultimate Deletion. Bray called him a liar. A fool. And he's just a man who had made a very bad decision. Wyatt said, when the devil is on your doorstep, you should never let him in. Wyatt accepts Ultimate Deletion. He said, it was a beautiful home and family, and it would be a shame if something bad happened to them. Kurt Angle then saw, I knew Bray was crazy, but what happened to Matt? We see a referee. A poor referee. Kurt Angle basically sentenced him to Ultimate Deletion. The referee asked, did I do something wrong? No, I want them to be safe and come back to Raw in one piece. So Ultimate Deletion is next week. React now.
Y'all, I had to break out the Bray Wyatt Halloween decoration to pray for his stupid soul because he's going to do something stupid in this Ultimate Deletion. I can just feel it. It's already shot.
Apparently it went very well.
Don't know for who. So that's an uplifting thing. Jeremy Borash was involved in it, so that's going to tell you everything you need to know right there about it. Should be interesting. I don't think he went in the lake because he's not Husky Harris, so that's a good thing, maybe?
Could be.
Possibly? I don't know. I hope he doesn't go in the lake. It's going to be really awkward if he does. But anyway, so yeah. Oh. Ray's promo was really good.
Yes, it was.
Why?
Keep going.
Okay. I'm actually really surprised they're going to involve the kids in this, but I'm not, because I've been like half expecting it, but as long as it's just like in this isolated thing, that's fine. I'm cool with it. Oh my god, yes. Oh my god, yes. I'm not going to say what he just sent me, but yes!
Should we tell him?
Say it.
Bray Wyatt gets thrown into the lake. Out comes Irwin R. Scheister.
I need to do that! So need to do that. Please, God. It's the one time you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, you throw Bray in the lake and out comes Bo Dallas.
You can also Bo Dallas come out too. IRS would be funny. Yeah. Be funny.
No, you throw Bray in, out comes Bo Dallas. You throw Bo Dallas in, out comes IRS. Or IRS in, out comes Bray Wyatt.
Yep, there you go.
Be one wild trip, man. One wild trip. So anyway, so yeah, so this looks good. I have concerns. It is next week, so expect reactions, y'all. Just expect reactions next week.
I also want Bray to turn Matt's kids into the sheep.
He needs to stay the hell away from Rebby because she will snatch him bald he's not careful.
That won't be too hard.
That won't be too hard. Although I do have to thank whoever did Bray Wyatt's hair tonight. Not sure if it was him or the Glam Squad or a little bit of both, but whoever just fluffed up his bangs just like a little bit. Thank you. His hair looks so much better tonight. I think they finally figured out that that little spot right in the middle of his forehead is a little tricky, thin, whatever. So they just fluffed it up to give him a little bit more hair. So unless he went and got his hair did, he could have.
After fighting in Matt's house, he might have had to.
Maybe.
So, Kurt Angle started off Monday Night Raw. He's excited to team with Ronda Rousey and to face Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. He said he almost feels sorry for what Rousey will do to Stephanie, but he won't feel bad about what he does to Triple H. He then brought up Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns and informed us Brock Lesnar was not here tonight. He heard a variety of reasons, including transportation issues, as reasons why Brock isn't here. This made Roman Reigns mad. Roman Reigns came out. Reigns said he wasn't surprised because Lesnar doesn't respect him. He doesn't respect his doesn't respect his company or the fans. Reigns said Lesnar didn't show up for work this week or last week, and he questioned what the repercussions would be. No one's mentioned that he showed up at a house show on Friday night. Reigns said there wouldn't be any repercussions because Lesnar is Vince's boy. Angle tried to take the mic away, but Reigns was like, "I'll pull it away." Reigns said the best case scenario, if he or anyone else didn't show up for work, there would be a huge fine, or the worst case, wouldn't be able to feed their kids. Reigns said his real problem isn't with Brock, it's with Vince McMahon. He said he walked past Vince backstage and didn't even have the respect to inform him about Lesnar. "That's the man I bust my ass for." He added that it's one thing to be disrespected by Brock, but he will not be disrespected by Vince McMahon. Roman Reigns left the ring, headed right backstage to Gorilla, and walked straight up to Vince McMahon.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why was Shane McMahon there?
No idea.
Who was in the limo, and why was Shane McMahon producing Raw?
Right.
The important questions of our time.
Reigns gets up to Vince and said, "You're not going to talk to me." Vince took off his headset, said, "Let's go to my office." Weird, Shane was there, but possible reason is, you know, there was a pay-per-view, and, you know, he flew there and just was producing because, you know, reasons. Now, Renee Young was outside Mr. McMahon's office. So they have settled down. Things have sort of settled down. Reigns walked out with no comment. Vince McMahon emerged and said that Lesnar is not his or his boy or Paul Heyman's boy or anyone else's boy. He's a man. He said he has no intentions of disrespecting Reigns. He said he reminded Reigns of an expression from his cousin, The Rock: "Know your role and shut your mouth." Vince said Lesnar doesn't like people. But that doesn't make him a bad guy. Vince conceded that Lesnar probably doesn't like the WWE universe. He said the thing that Lesnar respects his competition in the ring or in the octagon. He says Lesnar has privileges that others do not, and admitted that Lesnar can take advantage of those privileges, but he's earned those privileges. Vince assured us that Lesnar would be here next week. "You got my word on it," he said. If he said he guaranteed it, then Vince then said, "By the way, right now, Roman Reigns has been temporarily suspended. I thought Roman played his part well. I thought Vince, looking old, played his part very well. It made it really serious. It made it really interesting. And I thought a job well done by everyone." Your thoughts?
I thought this was really good. I'm still confused as to why Shane was there. But I liked how they did this. I liked how you had Roman get pissed. He goes backstage. He demands to know what's going on. And Vince, basically addresses it as he needs to address it. He comes out and he's like, you know, yeah, Brock does get special privileges. He gets them because they're written into his contract. That's why he gets them. Has he earned them? Yes and no. You could technically say he paid his dues way the hell back in like 2003-ish, somewhere there. But it's kind of debatable at this point, depending on how you feel about Brock. But yeah, basically Brock gets what Brock gets because it's written into his contract that's how that goes. So, of course, he's going to take full advantage of that. And then I liked the added twist of how do we get Roman Reigns out of the building, or how do we, you know, basically explain, well, hey, Roman Reigns may not be there next week, is we're going to temporarily suspend him. Why? Because he got in Vince McMahon's face and he pissed Vince off. And that is Vince's prerogative as the owner and chairman of WWE to discipline people, I should say, as he wants.
And they could do it in a storyline aspect of Roman Reigns shows up next week, defying Vince McMahon to get in the face of Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
To make, you know, Roman Reigns the rebel.
Well, I like how they're, like, delaying the initial face-off between Roman and Brock that they keep pushing it back, and Brock keeps no showing it, basically implying that Roman is not worth Brock's time. He doesn't care. He's going to show up at WrestleMania, he's going to defend his title, he's going to, in his mind, beat Roman, and then he's going to leave, and he'll be gone again for however many months. Which is fueling Roman's anger, it's fueling fire for Roman, he's passionate, he wants to get to Lesnar, he wants to face off against Lesnar, he wants to kick Lesnar's butt. Which I really like. I like it when they give Roman Reigns drive, or they let him, they write him with drive, because that's when he, you know, basically what they see in him comes out, and that personality that he has comes out. Because the rest of the time when they don't write him like that, it doesn't necessarily come across, because he's generally very understated, so it's hard to see. This way he can sort of let some of that go and let some of that come out. And I like him when they write him like this, because he has passion.
Yeah.
So this is really, really good. So we'll have to see where this goes next week. But again, the fact that they're delaying that face off is perfect.
Do I want to see Roman Reigns kick Brock Lesnar's ass? Yes. Doesn't mean I want Roman Reigns as my champion. Just saying.
I'm still wishy-washy on that.
I'm just saying the story would be you want to see Roman kick Brock's ass. Yes. From that story standpoint, yes, you want to see it happen. Doesn't mean I want to see I don't want to see Roman Reigns as champion. Those are two different aspects.
True.
But we have time to discuss them other times. But, you know, that's our show for tonight.
That is our show for tonight.
So, I'm going to let you plug what happens tomorrow. That gets dropped tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow, the Rack Extra Reviews is back. And, well, we're talking all about the Book of Booty by the New Day, which, you know, correlates to a certain announcement. Have you made that yet?
Yeah, it's all out.
It's all out? All right. Well, then, you know, tune in, because you can again hear how you can win your own copy of the autographed Book of Booty by the New Day. So tune in tomorrow night, or I should say tomorrow, because it drops tomorrow.
But that's not also what else drops tomorrow. The other
things,
the other HGT.
Oh, right, that, yeah, right, that. Sorry, too many things dropping, too many more things coming. Yes, if you are a fan of HGTV or you just want to hear me talk about HGTV, tune in tomorrow for the Rack Extra HGTV edition, where we talk to the stars of Flipper Flop Las Vegas, as they tell us all about season 2 of their show, which happens to come out on the 15th at 9 p.m. So you don't want to miss that.
So yes, yeah, so you get 2 Rack Extras this week.
It's 2 for the price of 1.
Then Thursday night, you get the full show, 10 p.m. Eastern. We will review SmackDown, the pay-per-view Fastlane, and NXT. And talk all the news you can possibly handle to Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you follow us on the Instagrams, the IG, the Grams.
The Gram, baby.
And there may be other Rack Extras coming, too.
Yeah, about other shows, because our other trash shows came back, and we must discuss.
If you're a fan of the 10-Minute Podcast, the 10-Minute Podcast is becoming a thing. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight is at C-Radio, the Weird, Wacky, and Unusual, doing Irish People for St. Patrick's Day, because of reasons. Go back to listen to Pizza Toppings, C-RadioLive.com, hashtag Blame Rob, what a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lens Ward, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Girlwork.net and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack, and right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com. You can suck my dick, I'm a porno flick, I'm like Amazing Grace. I'm gonna fuck some hoes after I rock this place. Super fly, living double wide, sidecar my glide, so Joe Steve can ride. Full sack to share, bringing flash and flare. Got the long hair, swinging middle finger in the air. Snakes get suit, 65 Chappelle. See me ride and sit, hear the rebel yell. I won't live to tell, so if you do, give the next generation a big fuck you. Who knew I'd blow a black post war bomber? Said fuck high school, pissed on my diploma.
WrestlingRadio.com.